Did you know, according to the AARP, that 90% of the adults over the age of 65 want to age in place? In other words, live in their home as long as they can. In fact, 80% believe that the current home that they're in right now will be where they will always live. For some, it can happen, but for some others, they will be faced with some challenges to stay at home. While many think that it's the person, the aging person, that's the issue, it really isn't. Most cases, it's the home that has the challenges. We're going to discuss this topic on day 14 of the 30-day preparation plan to care for an aging parent.
Hello, rents.
That's Anastasia. She's my 22-year-old daughter. My wife, Phyllis, and I think we did a pretty decent job of raising her. She goes around and calls us rents. But you know what? I'm all right with that, because one day, she's going to be raising us. And just wait and see what I'm going to be calling her. My name is Zach Demopoulos. I'm your host, and welcome to the Raising Rents Podcast. Welcome to the Raising Rents Podcast. This show is sponsored by Comfort Care, a national home care provider that will help you live your best life possible. Day 14 of the 30-day preparation plan is the next step in preparing a plan to become a caregiver. Keep in mind, as we go throughout this process, our primary goal for family caregiving, regardless of circumstances, is to provide a loved one with a comfortable, caring environment in which to grow old. The U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention defines aging in place as follows: the ability to live in one's own home and community safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age, income, or ability level. Mark Nager of ageinplace.com adds that aging in place will mean one has to be able to get all the assistance or services they need to maintain their safety and quality of life. Why is this going to be so important to us in the near future? Well, today, 14% of our population is over the age of 65. By the year 2050, it will be 20%. And that means that there are millions of people that will need to age in place. And to do that, they will have to have a plan in place if they want to remain in their home. It's not as easy as it sounds. I mean, there are some trends here that we are going to have to worry about. For example, there are fewer and fewer caregivers per each person the age of 65 plus. Cost of resources are rising, and government funding barely keeps up with government spending. It's going to be a problem. And studies have shown when someone has to move from their home to a care facility, there is a risk that there'll be some damaging effects on their emotional, mental, and physical well-being of the individuals. That's why people want to stay home. There are really a lot of benefits in staying home. I mean, if you think about it, they're surrounded by their favorite possessions and memories, pictures on the wall, their favorite comfortable chair to sit in or their bed. They have privacy. Their home has their own personal touch. They may have a garden or a yard they like to go play in. I mean, it feels like a home, and it would be very hard to replicate anywhere else. What about the neighborhood that they live in, the surrounding shops and restaurants, a park that they may like to go to, or other favorite places? What about their neighbors, their friends, their community? Again, this is a very familiar space for them, and it will be hard to replicate somewhere else. They have their routines, what they like to eat, their favorite activities. Leaving home will make them feel that they are losing quite a bit, and along with that, their independence. It has been shown that aging adults not institutionalized have exhibited less depression than young adults. So let's look at this from both sides of the street: the person wanting to stay home and the home itself. All right, for the adult who wants to age at home, and there are typical things that they experience when they age, SeniorResource.com lists many of these. They are, for example, hearing impairment, failing vision, osteoporosis, increased likelihood of arthritis, diabetes, heart disease, hypertension. And then there, of course, those are the physical. What about the mental? There are mental processes that change, including long-term memory decline, slower processing of information, slower response. In result, you get decreased mobility and dexterity, decreased strength and stamina, and reduced sensory acuity, such as vision, hearing, thermal sensitivity, touch, and smell. While these things are found to change, there are things, though, that remain the same. Contrary to popular belief, most individuals remain pretty stable when they're living at home. Most language-related skills tend to remain stable. Most notably, creativity and wisdom continues to stay at strong levels. There are other changes, though, that will occur. Social changes, such as isolation from family and friends, loss of peers, children living far away, and the neighborhood starts looking different, and that becomes a little disruptive. I mean, I'm 55 years old, and my neighborhood just over the last 17 years has changed significantly, and it does make you feel a little different. The good news is that the majority of seniors do learn to adapt to their changing situations and do lead happy and productive lives while remaining at home. So let's look on the other side of the street, the house. You can guess that homes our parents live in today may not necessarily be conducive to the physical challenges I've already mentioned. In response, a growing trend throughout the country is showing that many home builders and housing associations are stepping up. They're organizing educational activities to highlight programs and support services such as healthcare, chore services, and transportation, things like that which will help elders age comfortably and safely in home. One key piece of advice they give us is that we need to be proactively about this. And what they mean is that you really should be modifying your parents' home before they become financially and physically unable to do so. Modifications, such as making sure you have one bedroom and one bathroom on the first floor, is extremely important. Many of the older homes that I go into through my home care business do not have any bedrooms downstairs, and a lot of them don't even have a bathroom on the first floor. There are usually stairs in a home, either in the front to get into the house or to go to a second floor. Of course, you can put stair lifts, and that makes it easier to get upstairs, and they're even more affordable to install, or you can even rent them. But again, putting a bedroom downstairs and a full bathroom is optimal. Some other things to make it easier for people to age at home: electrical switches, position them lower so they could be reached, and electrical outlets, raise them so they could be reached. Older thermostats can be replaced with new thermostats that have larger numbers. Entranceways without steps, you could use ramps. Wider doors and hallways in case someone's in a wheelchair. In the kitchen, on the cabinet doors, you can put a D-shaped pole and a different color so it contrasts with the cabinet door. You could put drawers in instead of shelves. You could put an extra long hose for the faucet sprayer. And for the most important room in the house, the bathroom, you could do quite a few renovations like grab bars, a bath chair, a raised toilet seat, a handheld shower. These are really important things so that somebody can safely use their bathrooms. Ideally, the bathroom should be enlarged to allow people with walkers and wheelchairs to maneuver in there safely and easily. There are a lot of people out there today who actually go in and can renovate bathrooms and kitchens and put in ramps. They can do quite a few things at a reasonable budget. You should refer to the Raising Rents podcast 30-day preparation plan series, day 4, episode 13, for more of a discussion of when you're visiting your parents' home, what to look for and plan for so that they can live safely at home. There may still be a need to secure other sources to help your parents age at home, especially if they're alone. Home care agencies that provide aids to assist with some of the activities of daily living, or ADLs, and instrumental activities of daily living, or IADLs, they could be hired. And they could be hired at different hours and different times of the week, and we will be talking about home care agencies in the future. For now, let's make sure you have a good understanding about what are ADLs and what are IADLs. Because it's important to know that the higher level of IADLs and ADLs that someone can maintain, the higher level of independence they'll be able to have. So ADLs, those are things like dressing, feeding, ambulating, toileting, and performing your own hygiene. IADLs, that's like preparing meals, shopping, performing housekeeping, using the telephone, transporting yourself, medication management, and managing your own finances. Knowing one's capabilities and monitoring their levels of ADLs and IADLs will help you plan appropriately so one can remain at home independently or at one point consider other options. The loss of independence in the performance of ADL may be a sign of chronic illnesses such as dementia, depression, or heart failure. And things like incontinence, which is quite common with the older parents, that may be an indicator for a long-term care facility if it can't be managed at home. If caregiver supports are not adequate and the patient becomes a risk, a change in living situations might be needed, such as an assisted living or a nursing home. We will talk about long-term care options such as independent living, assisted living, continuous care, retirement communities, and nursing homes also in future episodes. While there's a lot to do to learn about options and plan for them, the payoffs are worth it in terms of boosting both independence and confidence in aging adults. Understanding the costs of keeping your parents in his or her home is also really important. Most people who want to grow older and live in their home, surround themselves by possessions and their memories, will need to have a budget. They will need to have an idea of what it will cost to stay at home and what it will cost if they can no longer stay at home and go to another option. Keep in mind, should a healthcare issue arise, the cost of caring for a person in their home can get pretty expensive. Friends and neighbors can move, favorite stores and restaurants can close, independence can dissolve into feelings of loneliness, and the fact is, even if you don't want to take on the task of packing and moving, eventually someone is going to have to pack up mom and dad's stuff. So you do need to consider all options. There are some resources on the internet to look at for costs. MetLife has an aging in place workbook, and I have the link in our website, www.raisingrents.com, that you can look at to help you kind of plan out. And there's also a comparison for costs of long-term care, and that's on the Genworth website, which I also have a link for you. So that's day 14. Join us for day 15 as we talk about moving mom and dad, having to pack up all that stuff, and what you can do to help them. Thank you for listening to the Raising Rents podcast. This was episode 23. If you have any questions or feedback, please go to the www.raisingrents.com website and click on the contact tab. We would love to hear from you. You can also find the show notes and references to anything we talked about. Until we talk again, remember, our parents raised us. The least we could do is help raise them. Talk to you later.